Hello, everyone. This is Tanya Gabrielle, and it is the 17th of June, 2014. This is Future Forecast Formula, our support call. And I'm actually amazed I'm coming through to you today with all the issues that have been going on. Boy, the discussion boards online are just so hot right now, talking about the fact that it's impossible to even get logged into Infusionsoft to send a newsletter. Some of you may have received two newsletters of mine today just because of the craziness going on. So Mercury retrograde is definitely striking, and it's no surprise because today Mercury entered Gemini. It retrograded from Cancer into Gemini, its home sign, and everything is coming to an interesting standstill right now. I can't even send emails from my email provider to customers and prospects today. That's how bad it is. So I'm just sitting here laughing, going, well, at least I know why it's happening, and I'm not freaking out that it's something that, you know, I created because, oh, my gosh. So this is one moment where we can just actually take a bird's eye view as astronumerologists and say, 17, very powerful number, strength, right? Immortality and Mercury going retrograde on this day, pretty crazy. So there are lots of numbers I want to actually talk about today in my preface here. And then we'll go to questions. So if you want to line up now, you can press star 6 so I can get to you. Do a reading if you need it, or just in general if you want to respond to what I'm about to share with you. There is definitely an intensity to this retrograde that is pretty crazy. So, and it explains all the communication stuff going on today too. But in general, if you remember in April, we had this extraordinary numbers code being triggered on the 22nd of April, which is when that cardinal grand cross was the closest it could be. And, of course, the 22nd, 2 plus 2 equals 4. It's a master number of peace, but it also reduces to 4. And 4 is the number of work. And so at that time, during the cardinal grand cross, we also had all the four planets at 13 degrees on April 22nd. 13 also reduces to 4. 13 is a very intense number of change, transformation. So what's going on in June is that it is a 13-month, okay? So in terms of forecasting, when you have a major astrology event, actually it's astronumerology because we're talking numbers here. When you have that being triggered in a month that comes up later, whether it is a personal month for the person, meaning it could be 22, 31, or 13, or in this case, a universal effect with the 13-4 for June, there really is a major trigger that happens because whatever was started or discovered or launched, you know, on a deep level in April during that moment in time is now starting to sprout. It's now coming to fruition. So whatever seed was discovered and planted is now starting to grow. And because it's also Mercury retrograde, and because there are other numbers as well that are in place that are going on since then. For example, notice the full moon. When was the full moon? It was June 13th for most of the world, even the East Coast in the U.S. It was on June 13th. So most of the world experienced it on a 13th, right? So we have something, again, that was extraordinary. Well, what happened during that full moon on June 13th? It was at 22 degrees for all of us, 22 degrees. So we have that code triggered just a couple days ago, and it really, really upped the ante in terms of the intensity of this Mercury retrograde, because really what's going on is when Mercury is retrograde, we are asked to go deeply within and really reflect and, you know, look at what are things working the way they need to, what needs to be changed. It's not so much about activating plans, it's about looking at what you laid down, what roots you've planted, and you know, deciding what needs watering and what not, what needs tending to, what needs weeding, what not. So in this case, it's incredibly potent and also requires a lot of work. Why? Because 13 and 22 reduced to 4. Like I said before, 4 is the number of work. It's the number of laying a foundation. And so everything you're doing now is really coming under close scrutiny. And it's also totally in connection to everything else you're doing. So you are dealing with either partnerships or people who are, you know, in your on your team or family members who are also directly affected in conjunction with you, right? So if any of this rings true, you can just look at this code and understand, you know, what the incredible triggers and the incredible connections to the Cardinal Grand Cross and also the triggers even just within June that have been activated. So keep that in mind. Have a look at where that full moon took place in your chart and your client's charts. Have a look at anybody who has 22s or 13s or 31s, obviously not astrologically because we don't have 31 degrees, but numerologically the 31 and the 40 would still apply, right? Those are all the number 4s. So anywhere you see 4, 13, 22, 31, 40, you want to pay extra attention in your chart, in your client's chart, in your cycles. And the other thing is that we have a few things coming up that tie in a slightly different way to what I'm talking about. As you know, the 13 is very much about change and transformation. We all know that. We've experienced it. If you haven't, you will on some level experience some kind of change going on. There's just no way you cannot experience it because it's also the number 7. 7 is a different kind of change. It's more of an intuitive lightning strike kind of change, but it can actually manifest as a very dramatic moment because when the lightning strikes, it is obviously not something you expect, but what it does is the lightning shines the light on what the issue is. Whereas the 13 comes at you with, you know, issues and changes that sometimes you cannot place. You just know something needs to shift and you have no choice because it's life, death, transformation. With the 7, it's lit up. So you can actually get a glimpse, even though it may be short-lived, but you are given a moment to see what it is that you need to shift. So having said that, we're in a 7-year, very important, of course, in conjunction with everything that's going on. But also, the other thing that we're experiencing coming up is the number 7 in some of the astronumerology. So let's have a look at that, because today, of course, is the 17th, but yesterday on the 16th, which, of course, reduces to 7, Jupiter entered Leo. So Jupiter has been in Cancer for quite a while, about a year or so, and it's now entering Leo. So this is a big moment because, you know, it takes Jupiter around 12 years to go through the whole zodiac, and that's approximately 1 year per sign. And when Jupiter changes sign, we do feel that. And so that happened yesterday. So Leo is a fire sign, and it ties into, you know, being fired up about the future because Jupiter is about, you know, opportunities and expansion and looking forward. And so this changes things for us. It is definitely about activation, and it also explains why things are so active during this Mercury retrograde. If you have been feeling that, this is also a sign. Because remember, you know, yesterday Jupiter entered Leo, big moment, and then today Mercury entered Gemini going backwards. So we have just a lot of things happening that are triggering several codes. And so you want to pay attention to where this 7 is in your chart, in your astronumerology chart, so whether it is a numerology number or an actual astrology degree for you. So that would be 7, 16, and 25 for the astrology, plus 34 and 43 for the numerology. Okay? So what else is happening with the 7? Well, in a couple of days, July 20th, Saturn goes direct after being retrograde for quite a while. It goes direct at 16 degrees. So again, we have the 16 degrees. Of course, Saturn is in Scorpio, so it's not going to move forward again. So we have another moment. And then a couple days later, on the 22nd of July, again, there's the number 22. Very important, right? So the 22 is being triggered here. Uranus goes retrograde on July 22nd. And what degree sign? 16 degrees, just like Saturn a couple days earlier, 16 degrees. Okay, so Uranus is currently in Aries, as I'm sure you know. So it is in that first sign of the zodiac. It is going to go retrograde. This change also should be noted in your chart. Where is that happening? Okay, and how is that 16 relating to you? It's obviously going to cross back over areas that it has in the last few months. So, again, it's like almost like we're in a pressure cooker here with these numbers 16, 13, 22. All of those are very, very potent numbers. They are all about transformation, no doubt about it. And we do have some respite, of course, coming in July. We're in a 14-month. That is a very fun number. Yes, it is about decisions and different directions you can take and travel, but it's definitely a lighter energy. And the other good news is on July 26th, the new moon's at 3 degrees. And so that is another reinforcement of having a lightness of energy there for us. So there is something happening in the future. Even the new moon, the end of June, is at 5 degrees on the 27th, which is almost like it is a forecast of July, right? July is a 14-month, which is a 5, and the new moon on June 27th, just a couple days before July, is at 5 degrees. So it's like a little bit of a forecast of that number 5 for us. But again, even with those, we have the full moon is trine Neptune, which is at 7 degrees right now. And so there's that number 7 again. And Neptune is about spirituality and deep insights and dreams and not, you know, buying into illusions. And so we're being held to task for that, the 7, the light up your change number, right? So there's definitely this moment right now that's just totally tied to shifting from the inside out, really. This is not really about an outside event, though we may sometimes feel that. It really is go within and check what needs to be adjusted here, okay? Look at when Mercury went retrograde. That was June 7th, June 7th. And what was Mercury trying to on that day? It was trine Neptune at 7 degrees. Right, Neptune moves very slowly, so Neptune will be at 7 degrees for a long time. But again, we have that number 7 triggered. So this will give you a lot of food for thought for the next month, just looking at these numbers, tying it together for you, looking at how it affects you and your clients. And it's just fascinating stuff. I mean, I'm just really enjoying it, even though, of course, for me, it's intense as well. It's not like I'm not immune to what's going on here. Obviously, I can interpret it, thank God, so I can have fun with it and laugh and, you know, throw some humor at some of the stuff. But it still is happening, right? So it is definitely important for you to understand this. So let me go to a question that came in from Jacqueline, and then we'll go to your question. So if you have a question about what I just said, please line up, press star 6. Would love to talk to you. We have Jacqueline asking about the name of the aspect that was formerly misnamed. I won't even name the misnamed for the aspect, but it is the 105 degrees, and we're talking about Future Forecast Formula Webinar 4, where I go into the secret astronumerology forecasting tools, right? So that is called, the 105 degree is called sesquiquintile, okay? So you should have that noted in the webinar since I did adjust that for you. So, and then you want me to tell you which videos explain the sesquiquintile, which is the 105 degree aspect, and how to find it. Okay, so part one, how do you find it? Well, you draw the 90 degree square, which is very straightforward. It's just a quarter of the pi, right, of the circle, so a quarter of the pi, 90 degrees square, and then you just add 15 degrees to that, and that's how you get to 105 degrees. Okay, again, it's the sesquiquintile that you're referring to. And so you wanted to know which webinars discuss this. Well, I begin in webinar 4 and 5, webinars 5 and 6 in Future Forecast Formula also give plenty of examples of how to find this particular highly important forecasting aspect, okay? So you ask if I can refer you to the correct videos. I just did that. Tell you about a few examples. I can do that with you if you're on the call. I'm not really looking to give you examples unless we have a question today that, you know, refers to this particular aspect. But you know what? If you go, Jacqueline, if you go to webinars 4, 5, and 6, you're going to find a lot of examples of famous, you know, people who I profiled who had or will have that aspect going on in their charts. Okay? So hopefully that answered your question. If it didn't, just chime in here now, press star 6, and we can look further into it. Okay, so let's get to our question here. Let me click. Hello?
Hi, Tanya. It's Rayora.
Hey, Rayora. How are
you?
I haven't heard from you in a while. Are you okay?
No, I've been traveling and just busy with other things, but
good.
I've been able to get back on the calls this week, so that's good.
Good.
I do have a question for you. It pertains to my chart, but it's referencing something that you've got in the material here. In the future forecast formula,
okay.
You say that the arc interpretations are the same as for transits, and with the difference being that the arcs are more powerful and leave a much deeper effect and last for a longer period of time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, that was on page 23, I believe, and on page 38, you give an example of. You say that whether Pluto is solar arcing Saturn or Saturn is solar arcing Pluto,
mm-hmm.
that the arc between Pluto and Saturn is either in either direction brings dramatic shifts into the life. Excuse me. There is always release and ending of the past, followed by hard work, a huge time of maturity and learning. Now, my question is, does that definition that you give there, going either direction, also
mm-hmm.
then apply to if a hard aspect is there between Pluto and Saturn in the transit chart?
Yes.
Because you say the definition's the same.
Yes, it is the same. It is the same. It's definitely more potent with the arcs. However, you know, how do you even define that? Is it 80% with the transit or not? You know, it's hard for me to say that for you, and the reason is, well, I'd have to open your chart, which I'm about to do. It depends also on the prominence of those planets in your personal natal chart. So, you know, in general, solar arcs are powerful no matter where they stand, right? So if you're let's say you're a Capricorn, then Saturn plays a greater role for you anyway, okay? Or if you have Capricorn rising or Capricorn on your midheaven. So for transits then, absolutely, oh my gosh, your whole chart's being triggered, right? I mean, with Pluto and Saturn interacting with each other, however that may be, whether mm-hmm. Saturn's transiting Pluto or Pluto's transiting natal Saturn. So I have to open your chart right now, which I'm in the process of doing to really see what's up. Is that happening for you right now?
I have the transit square going on is what I have, and I was wondering if that definition applied because it does seem to fit.
Yeah, the definition definitely applies. As to the strength of it, that depends, as I said, on the initial natal promise, right? So let me just see here. what's going on with you. Okay, here and now. So you're talking transits. And so let's see, Pluto's at 12 degrees. Where's your Saturn? Okay, it's not Pluto transiting Saturn. It is, so which is transiting which here?
No, there is a square between transiting Saturn and my natal Pluto.
Yep, I'm now realizing that I had the wrong bi wheel. So I'm just getting it up again to adjust the bi wheel, make sure it's correct. Yes, now I have it. Okay. So Pluto is not quite square yet, but let's see. Saturn, yes, Saturn is absolutely squaring your Pluto. Saturn's in the eighth house. Okay, let me just digest your chart here. Saturn is in the house that's most important to you, natal chart Saturn, right? You have five planets and your node, node in the seventh house.
Yeah, oh yeah, natal chart.
That's what I mean.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So Saturn is literally smack in the middle there.
Yeah.
Really very prominent position, 24 degrees. You have a sixth ascendant, 24, that's six. That's already quite a connection there. Saturn is absolutely important to you. You don't have Saturn ruling ascendant, midheaven, or sun sign. However, just by virtue of being placed conjunct to Venus, conjunct to Mercury, and at 24-6 degrees in the house of love with the 6-degree ascendant, yeah, it's a very, very important planet. So yes, the effect will be very dramatic for you when transiting Saturn. Even though I'm talking about natal Saturn, transiting Saturn is going to always affect you deeply because of where your natal Saturn is placed. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. It does.
Yeah. Yeah.
What I'm sensing that this applies to with me is it's become very clear to my husband and I that this home doesn't suit us anymore. It's too much for us to handle. So it means relocating. It means giving up a home that I've been in for 40 years. And so it's a major thing. It does deal with the past. It deals with relationship issues, the whole ball of wax. So I can really see how that fits in there.
Oh, absolutely. And I'm sorry to hear that. Gosh, that's a major, major shift for you.
It is. It is. It's a major shift. But we don't look at doing it in 2 weeks either.
Mm-hmm.
Looking at our cycles, I figure for both of us it will make sense to do the actual move in about 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
But it's definitely something that's on the horizon for us. And this, to me, looks like it's going to be a long enough impact that it would definitely apply to that.
Yeah. I mean, Saturn doesn't move too quickly. So
no. It
is about to do, I believe, a pretty big retrograde again. I'm just looking here. Did you look in your ephemeris? I'm sure you did, to check this.
Well, Saturn is retrograde now, isn't it?
It's retrograde now, and it's doing it again. Later on too. So back in June 2015, it's going back over that area almost. I mean, it's hitting it pretty close. It might go a little faster. I know Saturn tends to do things step by step, but it does want you to move ahead and not stall. So though it may feel like 2 years, it may be sooner. Just gauge that too. I don't have his chart in front of me, so I can't check that. But in terms of that 24-6 degrees as well, of course that does govern home and family, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you have your main access point. The most important one is the ascendant, of course, and that's at 6 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's boy. And the other thing with you, Rara, that's very, very important in this change that you're experiencing is it does involve your spiritual growth because of where Neptune is right now.
Yeah.
Do you see where transiting Neptune is?
Uh-huh. sure
retrograding back and forth over your ascendant.
Uh-huh. That's, it's been bouncing around there for months.
Yeah, it's going to be bouncing there for a while. So that would be another place to look, because you, in a sense, will have much more clarity when that moves on, right? I mean, one of the things that
Neptune
can...
Promise is going to move on.
Pardon me?
I said you promise it's going to move on.
It's going to move
on.
I promise. And guess what? It's so funny that you said 2 years, because you know when it really moves out of there is literally 2 years from now.
Uh-huh.
That's when Neptune, even though it's going to retrograde again, it does not retrograde back into that sphere of degrees. It only goes back to around 11 in October 2017. But in May... On June 16th, believe it or not, look in your ephemeris, 2 years from today, literally, June 17th it goes retrograde. Today's June 17th.
Uh-huh.
And it goes all the way to 14 degrees in Pisces until then, and then it just goes back a little bit, just 3 degrees, and then moves forward again. So... I think your idea of the 2 years may be more actually related to that, because it'll really allow you to have a lot more clarity when that shifts away from your ascendant. You'll feel it before then. I'm just saying, you know, it's funny you said 2 years because of that moment,
mm-hmm.
exactly 2 years from today, when it goes retrograde on the 17th for a couple more degrees here. But I do feel that that transit also has to be taken into account here. If you feel like you haven't been able to get clarity on things, it's definitely this transit. So, you know.
Well, I have clarity on most things. I won't say mm-hmm. everything, but most mm-hmm. things. But with me, it does seem to be, there's a lot of... inner tension going on right now with me, because I've got so much going on in my chart, like a lot of people do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's with everything that's going on with the general makeup of the cosmos right now.
Yep.
Mercury notwithstanding. So, you know, it's kind of an intense time. It just is. So you're saying that this Neptune change for me will bring more clarity about the move, or about just life in general? What were you
life
referring
in general.
To there?
It's you're going through a deep spiritual growth period right now. You
mm-hmm.
are a Pisces ascendant. So
yeah.
all this stuff is allowing you to reflect on where you are as a spiritual being.
Mm-hmm.
And so when that happens, we're often given these moments of you feel like the shit hits the fan, like with the house. You just made this huge decision. It's very emotional. It's deep. And so what it's allowing you to do is go deeper, deeper into your spiritual resources. And so what I'm saying is, in a couple years, you'll even feel it before then, you are going to move away from this, what you feel like is sort of this crisis moment, and feel much more at ease about where you are, you know, and how it's going to evolve, and not feel this pressure like we all are now, you know, with everything going on. You have it in a very specific way. This is definitely about your spirituality. It's very clear to me, because you are a Piscean naturally, right? So it's, you know, you have something that even your north node is in your first house, and that is about the future. So your feeling about the future is currently a little bit, not your feeling, your ability to feel really excited about your future is a little bit veiled right now, because of the pressure you're feeling. And that veil will be lifted, is what I'm saying. So
okay. Yeah, that's
does that
it.
Make sense?
Yeah, and also wouldn't contributing to that be the fact that that the sun is solar arcing my ascendant with Neptune sitting right there in transit? Wouldn't that complicate this whole thing too?
Oh, absolutely. See, I don't have your solar arc in front of me, so That would absolutely. What degree is it? Is it
8 degrees in the 9th house?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. Absolutely. That will affect you very much. Just looking at that now. Yeah. So yeah, that arc is closing down now though, right? It's not, if it's 8 degrees, it's
mm-hmm.
not as strong. So that's the good news. Do you have any other arcs coming up that affect this area of your chart or the Saturn?
Well, I've got the South Node arcing Mars in my natal.
Oh, okay. Well, that should give you some good energy about community. That's actually not bad. I like that for you. And it also allows you to travel more because Mars is in your 9th house. Where's your node? Let me just see.
South node. Well, I was talking about the solar arc, but you mean the natal
node? Yeah, the solar
node?
Arc. That's the one I mean. Yeah, where is that?
Solar arc. I mean, I can't talk today. Solar arc is...
It's Mercury. Okay.
Exactly. Yeah.
I've been using that term, it's Mercury retrograde, literally many times a day, and I've never done that before. But there's so much happening. I keep saying, it's Mercury retrograde. It's crazy. So, yeah. Okay. So, let's see. Where are you? I'm looking now. Where
okay,
you
look
are.
At
oh,
the
I
ninth
see.
House. I've got Mars at 2 degrees natal, and just above it is the South Node at 2 degrees.
Yeah, that's a conjunction. That's very, very powerful. That's very, very powerful. So that absolutely is going to trigger some activity for you.
And this, too, has to do with the past. So it brings you to a point of using your talents that you brought in with you at the same time being willing to release the past. Isn't that what this is all
yes,
about?
Yes, yes, yes. You can definitely look at the fact that it is the South Node. Yes, absolutely. But what it also means that you are associating with people, working together with them for a common end result. So sharing your success either in a group setting or in a partnership or entering into a union with other people or in a partnership with others. This is what it also means. So it's like a collaboration. And it also can be based on physical attraction because of what Mars represents, you know, the sexual attraction. So I'm not saying that you would enter into, you know, a sexual relationship. I'm not saying that at all. What I'm saying is whoever you work with, you may be attracted to physically, not that you would act on it, but there's something there that is propelling you to meet with or join forces with a group or a person that you share something with. Have a common goal. And that may not have happened yet. You definitely have a window here of, you know, a year or two, right? So it's not even exact yet. It's 02 degrees, 02 minutes. And your Saturn, that's the South Node. Your Saturn is 02:14. So we still have a little time. But just look out for that. It's in the 9th house. Too, of travel. So it may be somebody who you meet online or somebody who is distant from you or somebody who you meet through traveling, right?
Do you mean my Mars is at 2.0? You said Saturn.
Your natal Mars is 2.14, right?
Yeah.
And the solar arcing node is at 2.2. So it still hasn't quite conjuncted yet.
All right.
Yeah.
So even the seconds being exact are more important with the solar arc than they are in other aspects of astrology. Is that true?
Well, the seconds are always important, especially progressions and arcs, because they are slower moving. And what can happen is that the progressed moon or a transit will trigger this point in your chart. So you got to look for now any transits or progressions, like progressed moon, for example, or a transit that might trigger your Mars or trigger your natal, so natal Mars or natal nodes, because they're involved in this.
Mm-hmm.
And if you experience that, then that could also act as a trigger, right? If you don't experience that, then the exact minute does matter more. Do you see what I mean? Because it's not being triggered by anything else. So, yeah. You know, the
so
minutes
you'd be looking
are
at aspects, other aspects that apply to your natal Mars in this case, which would intensify the solar arcing effect. Is that it?
Yes. I'm referring to that. I'm also referring to the actual trigger, like the time, the actual timing of this can be triggered by other transits and progressions that are faster moving and could activate this before or after the exact moment in time, which would be 2:14, right, in Sagittarius. So it goes both ways. You can look at the exact moment in time for you when the arcing node reaches 2:14, which is what your natal Mars is at in Sagittarius, and or you may be triggered before or after that moment by a transit or progression, right, that moves through and touches your natal Mars or touches even your natal nodes.
Okay, I see that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, on the square, well, it's a solar arc. It's not a square. But the solar arc between my sun and ascendant there is
mm-hmm.
that 2-degree difference. Does that mean that the main event would have already happened by now?
Mm-hmm. It's happened already because it's almost at 9 degrees, your solar arc sun.
Okay.
It's at 8:59. So it's pretty much passed.
Okay.
And so if you look back a couple years ago, you'll get an exact idea of what that was all about.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, then why the 2-degree window that we work with then? I'm a little confused on that. If it's so important to have it at the exact time, then why the 2-degree window that we work
with? Well, I'm just saying if you look at 2 years ago, you'll get a better idea just because that's when it was more exact, 2.5 years ago. But you mm-hmm. definitely had the 4-year window.
Okay.
But that 4-year window we've passed already.
Yeah. Yeah.
So any time during that 4 years, you will experience the effect. It's just that, you know, the intensity with anything that is transiting, progressing, or arcing, the intensity is greatest when it's approaching.
Uh-huh.
Once it's exact, you've hit that moment of jackpot. Then as it's moving away, it dissipates. It's still active, though. So like I said, if there is a transit or progression that triggers it, you can still have a very potent moment. Okay, so, but the window definitely is 4 years. Sometimes we just don't know exactly unless we look at the other factors when, how to time it, right? So I always look at progressed moon, which is a huge timing device. I always look at transits, especially not the fast-moving transits. I'm not talking the personal planets so much, right? I'm talking more like Jupiter and Saturn and Uranus. Those are the transits. For progressions, I would say all the personal planets, all of them, including
mm-hmm.
the moon. So.
Oh, so much to consider.
I know. But it's what makes it fun, too, you know?
I mean,
in some ways, the storyline just is more interesting in some ways. But it's a lot to consider. This is very advanced stuff, and it takes time for that reason. In order to be professional at this, you have to spend some time with it.
Isn't that
and,
the truth?
Yeah. But, you know, I tell you, though, it doesn't take too many readings for you to be clear on this. And you know why? Because you're so intuitive that if you understand how your celestial movements that surround your chart are affecting you, and you start doing this for clients, you're going to be pretty quick to put the picture together. Once you know the basics, you know, what do the planets mean? What do the houses mean? Right? Once you know those things, you can start weaving a storyline. It's actually not as difficult as it sounds. It's just that there's a lot of information, and it seems overwhelming, right? So
that's it exactly, yeah.
Yeah, That's it exactly.
I do find that. You know, it's in fact, it's easier still for me to work with other people's charts than it is my own. If
yes.
I want a challenge, I'll go to my own.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. It is. You bring up such a good point. I find the same thing. I actually don't like reading myself. It's too hard. I would rather somebody else did it for me. And so reading other people is much easier for me because I'm clear. I can get a bird's eye view. I'm not emotionally invested in the outcome. I'm like, you know. And so, yeah, for sure. We're human, right? So.
Absolutely, yeah. Okay,
yeah.
Tanya, well, I do thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Great questions today, and I'm glad you're back.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Great. Okay, then we have one more here. We have an anonymous caller. Hello?
Hi, Tanya. This is Linda.
Oh, hi, Linda. You're anonymous today.
I know. That's weird. I'm still calling from Skype, so I don't know why I'm anonymous.
Well, it says anonymous, and then it says your
Jazzy
Skype
girl?
Name, I think, which I don't, I didn't recognize it. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I was just curious to know what you thought about what happened with Marianne Williamson. I know it's predictive, but when we looked at her chart, it looked good for her winning the primary, but yet again, she didn't. So I was just wondering if you had a chance to go back and look at her chart and maybe the other people had better alignments than she did. Is that what you think was going on?
Let me pull it up. I believe that I looked at her chart for November,
mm-hmm.
not for this time of year.
Oh.
And that was the difference. I didn't even, because I'm not that into politics,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I used to be, but right now I just don't have the time. I didn't even consider the fact that there would be a primary before the actual election. And so what I looked at is the November election.
I see.
Thinking that's when the results would be tallied. And obviously that is not the case. So I'd have to actually go back and recheck everything. This happened when? Earlier this month? I mean, I live in her frickin' district. I should know this. I apologize.
I think I live in her district. June 3rd or June 4th, something like that.
Oh, my gosh.
Exactly.
This is so embarrassing that I don't know this.
I was disappointed. I don't know. I don't live in her district, but I was like, oh, man. And
I know.
She had better alignments than she did.
I feel really bad. I really do, because I really should be up on what happened to her. And the other thing is my good friend Beth Davis has been really campaigning for her, and I know that she's been very invested.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let me see here. Let me just bring this up because I am now very curious. Dan, did you look at her numbers? Because I don't have that info in front of me. Do you know what personal month it was and day?
No, I don't. I was just curious if you did. It's not I could even go look at it. I was just wondering if you had a chance to look at that, see what happened. But I do, now that you mentioned it, I remember that you picked November. So... But it was good timing in March, November. So does that mean that something could still happen? Like, because I know the last time I read her thing that she was reevaluating things to find out
okay.
what she had learned from it.
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I don't know politically how she could be involved at this point because it's not like a presidential election where she might be vice president. It's
mm-hmm.
literally House of Representatives. So. I'm just now pulling up her, I just want to look at her astrology.
I think she's a 16-7 day of birth, but I don't remember anything else. Sorry.
Yeah, okay. Let me just see here. I'm just looking at her chart. Okay. Real quick. So all of you know we covered Marianne Williamson in Future Forecast Formula, so you can look this up and find her natal chart. On June 3rd, which is a Tuesday, so that is the correct day because that's when elections are, what happened for her? Well, first of all, okay, so I'd have to look at what's happening in November with Neptune, because Neptune literally was smack right on her midheaven. Yeah, and that's definitely not the case in November 2014. It goes retrograde. So Neptune was conjunct her midheaven exact by a few seconds, by a few minutes. I mean, it was literally right there. And that would, for her personally, mean that she would be a little bit, you know, in an illusion. Like, things would not necessarily feel. It's at 7 degrees. So this is not, this is suddenly realizing that her dream for her career may have been an illusion. Because she came in fourth, I believe, right? I mean, this was not like she came in a close second. I believe she was really far behind. So that would have been quite disappointing, I would think, for her.
Was that the transiting Neptune? Or?
Yes, it's transiting. I'm looking at transits right now. Okay. I'm not looking at arcs. So if you look at the transits for that day, you can see that. Now, of course, Neptune moves slowly, so it's there now. It hasn't necessarily moved much. And it's retrograding, and by August it's moving a little bit away. But as for your question about November, not sure about how this would affect things. I think she would have really realized, you know, Neptune's also the planet of spirituality. It's at 7 degrees, which is the spiritual number. Would this have given her a message that to stick with spiritual teaching? That's sort of what I'm getting with this intuitively right now. That politics, it was a good run, but she realized it's not where she should put her energy resources. You see what I mean?
Right, because she did say in a one of her Facebook posts that she was reevaluating, you know, what she learned from going through that. So I was like,
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Let me check if there's anything else here that jumps out at me. Let's see here. Her sun's at 16. Okay, her sun's at 16 degrees. That's also a 7. So she would have really felt this very personally, just the numerology involved here. Yeah, though I don't see this as a setback for her. I just see it as a temporary moment where she can actually take this experience, as she said in her Facebook post, and really, she probably gained a lot of new followers just by tapping into a brand new field,
right?
So, so she probably will be more visible even on the political realm as a speaker now, but to bring spirituality into the conversation. Right? I mean,
right.
She is part of the conversation by virtue of being a Royal Star of the Lion 23 degree, you know, ascendant, which, you know, I believe is correct because they give her birth time at 3:53 a.m. That's pretty exact here. So she does have a 23 ascendant. And that means she is part of the media, she's part of the conversation. So my sense is that this will propel her to a greater level of publicity and public, you know, recognition on some level, because she's been given a platform by virtue of running. She got a lot of press. We know that. So where she takes this, we don't know, but I think it's going to help her eventually, you know, once this transit passes. She'll see more clearly where this is going for her. So, yeah.
Cool.
It's definitely a spiritual moment for her, definitely.
Okay, and then could you take a look at my solar arc chart? Well, I'm about to be 50 in a couple of weeks, so I was just...
Ooh, congratulations. That's so awesome.
Solar arc Uranus is at 25 degrees Libra, right on my ascendant, and it's, I think it's creating havocs for me.
Okay, hold on. Let me get you up. Where are you? Okay, why am I not seeing you? Hold on. I'm looking for you. I may have to take your information down.
Am I in the VIP one?
Oh, that's maybe what
it
is.
I was a former VIP.
That could be. But why didn't I put you in? There you are. Got you. Okay. Let me get your solar arc going here. Got to just create it real quick. Linda. Solar arc. Now save. Open. Okay. I want to see your natal chart first. Let me get that open. So get that and then get this. Okay. All right. Got you open, birthday girl, July 6th. Wow. All right, well, welcome to the 50s.
I know it.
Hey, I think, you know, 40s are not easy because of the number 4. It's a lot of work. So 50s, you do have more fun, just so you know. Okay. Really, you got to look at it that way, too. It's definitely... You get more perspective and you're more flexible. In the 40s, you're very set on certain things being a certain way, and it seems like there's a lot of work, too.
So, okay.
You know, you can look at the decades that way. So, okay, let me look at your arcs. What were you saying? What's arcing what?
Oh, solar arc Neptune. Solar arc Uranus is right on my ascendant at 25 degrees Libra, and my ascendant's 27 degrees Libra.
Oh, my gosh. And you just had Pluto do a run for it. Oh, my gosh. It's like double whammy time here for you.
I know it.
That's crazy. Oh, my gosh. So just to explain, Pluto just arced her natal ascendant for 4 years and literally just left a few months ago. And now it's Uranus's turn to arc her natal ascendant. And when I say arc, I mean conjunction. This is powerful stuff. Wow. Linda, mm-hmm. What can I say? Are you worried you have to move again or something?
I hope not, because it's a lot of hard work.
Yes, you're telling me.
Hard work.
I'm the moving queen. I can certainly sympathize with that. Wow. Okay, what can I say? Well, you know, the unexpected is around the corner, no doubt about it. It is in relation to your descendant, too, always, when it touches your ascendant. But what happens really with Uranus is that you have to be very quick on your feet, because there's going to be very little response time to environmental influences with this. Okay, you're going to have to there's going to be excitement, more excitement. Pluto didn't really bring excitement. Uranus does. So you may be in a situation where either clients are, you know, excited, or you get overexcited, or not even overexcited. But what you have to watch is things getting, you know, unstable too, because there's so much, and you know, you haven't quite gotten into the 2 year yet. You know, 25. You're at 25 exactly right now with the degrees. Mm-hmm. And so at 25-17 is when you're into the two-year period. So you're about to go into it. But what you'll feel is that your environment will be rearranged somehow. Unfortunately, I have to say, just so you know, this arc does cover changing your residence. It doesn't mean you will, but you may remodel or do something, or, you know, something regarding your home.
Mm-hmm.
It also covers making sudden new contacts that really have an effect on you. So now what I want you to watch is not to scatter your energies or not to do things in haste. So if you get nervous and you feel like you have to make a quick decision, so it's sort of a catch-22, because you will have to make quick decisions, but you don't want to make them under duress, where you feel nervous and make them too quickly. Do you see what I mean?
Okay.
Because Uranus really speeds up your nervous system, so you're going to feel more energized. You're going to feel like you want to, move and, you know, create future plans and act on them and move forward and all of that. And you will do all those things as long as you stay grounded. So if you, obviously you're in a partnership, very loving one with your husband, that really will help.
Mm-hmm.
It's harder to deal with something like this when you're on your own and trying to digest and process all this exciting nervous energy by yourself. So you'll attract it both for you and also for people who come into your life and be excited about something you do, which is great. You'll be around people who bring excitement. And also your personality may become more bubbly and open. And that's with the five, too. You'll be in your 50s. That is a much more open. You'll feel like you can open up more. You'll see. You're not there yet. 2 more weeks.
Okay.
You're in that 6 week before your birthday period too. Are you feeling that?
Yes, I'm like I feel like I'm like jittery and I don't even drink coffee.
Yep. My daughter's in the same period. Her birthday is June 29th and she keeps saying, "Mom, is it my 6 week thing? Because I just feel so this and that." And I'm like, "Yeah, Clara, just calm down. It's okay." Yeah. It
cool.
really makes a difference. So just, you know, that's something to always remember to tell your clients if you know it's their birthday is coming up within
mm-hmm.
6 weeks, to tell them that, because it really helps relax them, because it really is an intense time. So, and since you're entering a new decade, my girl, you're really feeling it.
So.
This is not the normal 6 weeks. This is like a crazy, oh, my gosh, I'm leaving my 40s forever, 6 weeks.
Well, it's so cute. My husband, he doesn't really like, I mean, he's not really into it, but I told him on my birthday last year, I'm born in 1964 and I turned 49, and he's born in 1949 and he was 64. So we were opposite,
aww.
You know, and so, you know, when we were talking about my birthday not too long ago, he's like, "Yeah, we only have a couple of weeks for that 64-49 thing." I was like, yep, it won't be this way ever again.
Oh, I love that he's communicating with you about the numbers. That makes such a difference, don't you think, when your partner is...
I know.
I think it's beautiful.
He's a reluctant astronumerologist. But
the fact that he said that, though, means he's in your camp. Do you see what I mean? He wouldn't have said that otherwise. So.
Right.
He may not show it as much, but he's definitely there. He would not have said that. Believe me, I know. Wow,
right.
That's really sweet. Well, gosh, you know, if you want me to give you a little bit more of a reading on our next call, just remind me that you had a huge birthday and we can do that. I sort of want you to be, like, beyond the birthday before I do it, though, because
mm-hmm.
you'll really feel the shift once your birthday comes around. And besides, it won't be Mercury retrograde, so you'll remember what I say. So.
Right. I have another question about my progress chart. If you do it for the same day, like my natal Neptune is at 15 degrees 10 in the first house, but then the progress is at 15 degrees 18. So does that mean that it's only moved 18 seconds or minutes since
yep.
my birth?
Yep. But what that also shows is if you look, go to your birthday in 1964
mm-hmm.
and you check, well, was Neptune going retrograde? What's taking so long? You know, but
mm-hmm.
yeah, that's usually what it means, because Neptune really moves super, super slowly. And it may have just been stationing at that time too. So, you know, stationing direct or retrograde.
It was retrograde when I was born.
There you go. So that's probably what it is. But, yeah, it takes super slowly, which is why we never, never pay attention to the progressions for the slow-moving planets. Never.
Okay.
They really don't make a difference.
Okay, I was just looking at that. And I was like,
Yeah. Yeah, that is the truth. And, yeah. So.
Cool. All right.
Yeah.
Well, I'm excited for my birthday. He's taking me on a cruise. So hopefully we're going to have fun.
Aww.
Since it's not Mercury retrograde anymore.
That's right. So Mercury will still be in Gemini, but it will be moving forward again. So that's good news.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, isn't it amazing how today, oh, my gosh, I mean, you're not experiencing what we are with sending newsletters and emailing clients, but it's been intense with this Mercury entering Gemini retrograde today. It's, you know, it was in Cancer, and now it's entering its home sign, and it's like, wow, oh my gosh, so I don't know how the next few days are going to be. It's going to be interesting. I have an event this weekend. I hope all my clients and members arrive.
So speaking of that Mercury retrograde, we're not supposed to sign any contracts and stuff like that. We did buy our house last year on July 15th, so we're up for a renewal of our homeowner's insurance, and we're looking into different ones. Should we wait for something like that until after July 1st, too, or is that something really?
Not if it's a renewal. If it's a renewal with the same company, no.
Uh-huh.
If it's a new contract, just to be safe, I would. Unless you just want to go through the contract with fine-tooth comb, which I don't like doing myself. But, you know, it's, if you, can you wait? I mean, is it an option you have?
Well, I mean, it doesn't expire until July 11th, so I don't see why we can't
wait. Oh, yeah.
Wait.
So
July
wait.
1st, right?
If you have a choice, wait. If you don't, just go through the contract, like, super slowly, and also expect some possible delays or communication, you know, issues like contract doesn't arrive when sending or stuff like that. It doesn't mean you can't sign them, but if you have any choice in the matter, try postponing it. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Have
happy birthday.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. Wow. Okay, so anybody else on the call, we have the lines open now. Press star 6 if you have a question about anything we discussed or looking at your own chart. Otherwise, if we don't have anybody speak up in the next 30 seconds, I'm going to close the call down and just remind you that things are going to resolve in terms of the energy alignments in July. So July 1st is a beautiful day of Mercury moving forward after this intense month, and we're entering a 14-5. Now, please remember, we're in the 2014, and 14-5 is triggering in a double whammy way next, you know, coming up this next month. So you can definitely count on some communication coming out of the blue, so, or things happening in a surprising way. So, and that's not a bad thing at all. It's just I want you to be aware that you want to leave room maybe for moments of change during some of your days where you have to shift gears and can't necessarily complete what you plan to complete. So that's just something that tends to happen in five magnified five periods, and this one in particular because we're in 2014. So the other thing you can watch for if you do watch world events is that media coverage will intensify possibly about something because 14 is the media number, so you can pay attention to that. And of course, if you have the number 5 in your personal chart or your client's chart, you can, you know, pay extra attention as well to that. So, and meanwhile, I wish all of you fabulous 4th of July, those of you in the U.S., and we will see you on the 22nd of July. And until then, have a wonderful, wonderful month. Wishing you all the best. Lots of love. Bye-bye.